Which kind of lessons can we draw for our own self first as a Muslim?
Well, you know, as Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum wa siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'alakum tatakuna. That, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you, like it was for those before you, so that you may attain taqwa, or righteousness, or restraint. It has many meanings, the word tatakuna in this context. So this is a universal historical phenomenon that God has revealed to mankind through many different peoples and civilizations, for them to attain and change, and to attain a high level of spirituality, closeness to God, and to learn restraint, moderation, and patience. And this is a very valuable lesson, because as it says in another narration of Rasulullah, translation, that a woman was known famously for praying. She prayed so much, and the Prophet Muhammad said that this is not basically what is expected. What is God wants most? God wants most is steadfastness and constancy. Hmm. And this is one of the big lessons that Ramadan can teach us.
Yes, during the whole month, to be consistent and to be in a permanent struggle for the best. What would you say about this? Which kind of lessons, the main lessons that we can draw?
Again, using the ayah that the brother has used from Surah Baqarah, when at the end we talk about taqwa and attaining taqwa, there's a hadith when it says taqwa can be attained through fasting, because fasting captures hold of two of the most main carnal desires which lead man to sin. The first one is anger, and the second one is his lust. And fasting controls these two. Hmm. And once one's able to control this, he's able to gain taqwa and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing that we have to take from this month and carry on is this concept of fasting. Because it's not just hunger and thirst, but it's in fact fasting of the eyes, the tongue, the ears, the hands, everything. Your whole body is in a constant servitude and worship to Allah.
Yeah, so let us be practical. You have people around you, and you have people watching us now. They are Muslims, they are fasting. Okay, the end of Ramadan is coming. What should I do? How can I just take all what I got from this month and just practice this in my daily life just after Ramadan, on a personal basis first?
Well, I would say that basically we live in a society which instant gratification is the norm. That if you're hungry, you go to a local corner shop, you get chocolate, sweets. If you've got, you know, people have sweet tooths, all these things, you know, people don't like waiting in queues, people want to get from A to B quickly, all these things. We're a very fast-paced society, especially those who live in cities. What Ramadan can give us, and I think something that we should take away, is restraint, patience. Don't instantly gratify your carnal desires or your organic needs to eat, but learn some restraint, because a lot of the tests that God gives us to test our piety to Him involves us being patient, waiting for the right moment, or being steadfast. And the thing with Ramadan is it's a program, it's like a 1 month therapy, you could say, whereby you will have to stick to a certain regime. That if you can stick to this, not only does your heart become softer so you can be more malleable to change it towards higher actions of piety, but also you learn and you get used to a restraint. And I think every Muslim finds himself being hopefully more patient in Ramadan, although sometimes it can be...
Sometimes it's exactly the opposite.
It's exactly opposite, yeah.
We have people, non-Muslims, saying we are working with Muslims and it's exactly the opposite. So this is also something which is quite important, is really to learn from Ramadan this patience and perseverance, and just to avoid anger and anything which is attacking the people and wrong way of talking. But is there something on that which is still important when a woman, where a man, a Muslim, is just trying to be someone who got a lesson from this month? What would be the first thing that you think he or she has to capture?
Well, I think a lot of people, especially in societies where there's abundance of food, the first thing when they comes to mind is shukr, which is appreciation, thankfulness for food itself. An appreciation of food, a very basic thing that we take for granted, but something that God gives us as part of our rizq every day. And this is an appreciation that I think we lack. Also, the common thing, which is for poor people around the world who don't have, three square meals a day like we do. So there's this appreciation and maybe a common humanity building, an awareness that there are people out there who don't even have food to break their fast with. So that's a very common theme that, you know, a lesson that we learn. All the lessons obviously involve just being more humble, moderation, not, you know, eating so much during the day. Although some Muslims, again, they do abuse this and they have an iftar to rival all iftars. Mm. And so, but it's we should eat our iftar like a normal meal, like we'd have normally, so that we are moderating our intake.
Moderation is a key word. What would you add to this if there is a lesson that we can draw from Ramadan? While we were talking about the spiritual dimension, which is quite important, to be praying during the night, all this should not be lost after Ramadan. And then we are dealing with a community, we are dealing, with poor people. Which kind of other lessons we can draw and in which way we have to take Ramadan as a school and to carry on?
I think one thing, obviously, again, it's focused on spirituality, but it's something that can be implemented into the society that we live in. Within the month of Ramadan, what happens is that people tend to think more, they tend to contemplate more, and they contemplate over their lives. When it comes to iftar, they think about where this food has come from, they think about their lifestyle beforehand, they think about the brothers and sisters around the world that don't have this sort of provision that we have living here in the West. And it's very important. Here in the West, we have such a fast-paced lifestyle, as the brother said, that you don't get a chance to think about your life and the route that your life is taking. And it's interesting, but when Maha Ramadan comes, everyone stops everything. Those who listen to music, they'll stop listening to music. Those who, you know, do all sorts of bad things, they'll stop during Ramadan, and they'll have this moment of contemplation. And I think this is essential for us to take away, that if we're constantly contemplating at night before going to sleep, we're counting the deeds that we've done. What good have we done? What bad have we done? And we do this in Maha Ramadan. If we can do this throughout the whole year, we will find that we ourselves will become better human beings, and then the society that we live in will be able to appreciate us as, yes, this person, through his akhlaq, the Prophet came to teach the mankind manners. He didn't come to teach them anything else. He said, I've been sent, I've been made a prophet to teach you to reach, make your manners reach the pinnacle, their perfection. So if we now are contemplating every night and thinking, how can I make myself a better person after Maha Ramadan as well, when we go back to work, when we go to school, when we go to college, university, people will realize that we're far more pleasant and we're a better person. And that will attract them to Islam.
So, yes.
And in fact, they'll be, you know, more happier that you're, you know, a fellow Muslim is living in the society with them, not, oh, he's hungry and cranky.
Yeah, so moderation, contemplation. Is there something that we have to do towards the community? Because during the months, we have been praying together, Taraweeh, you know, praying during the night and with our brothers and sisters. So which is the main lesson that we can draw from this, you know, community feeling and involvement and commitment?
This is, again, essential. People who don't regularly come to the mosque, you find them, they're there for Taraweeh, they're there for the du'as, and all the different things throughout that. And there's that community feeling. They'll have iftar together, and everyone will come together and they'll sit and talk. Then after Maha Ramadan, the numbers dwindle again. But that feeling that we have as brothers that are sitting down, because jama'ah has been recommended so much in ahadith, Allah has told us, you know, come together, the Prophet has told us, come together as well. And it's through this unity that we're able to, you know, take on any troubles that come to our communities. We have all sorts of deviancies, we have all sorts of external attacks that are happening on our communities on a day-to-day basis. Now, what Maha Ramadan does, and the unity factor of Maha Ramadan and this coming together, it strengthens us and we create that brotherhood amongst us. The sisters become closer.